Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. Some background. If you're a frequent WAMC listener, you probably know that I'm something of a crossword puzzle nut. In fact, the first segment I ever contributed to this show was about crosswords, and I'm always in the middle of the next one. You may also know I co-host a quiz segment with Mike Nothnagel, who has had 50 puzzles published in the New York Times. One time, we wrote a puzzle together. It took a few weeks to sharpen the theme idea, and then an entire Saturday to compose, like dusk till dawn, drink a pot of coffee, tinker with the northwest corner. The puzzle was rejected for publication. All of which puts me in awe of my guest, Natan Last, who published his first Sunday puzzle at the age of 17. Last has served three stints as puzzle editor Will Shortz's intern, and after graduating from Brown, hopes to continue a crossword career that has had quite the head start. Last is behind the new book, Word, 144 Crossword Puzzles That Prove It's Hip to Be Square, and it's a pleasure to welcome him to the Roundtable. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
How did you get hooked up with Will as his intern?
This was after I'd published my Sunday crossword, and the editing process for that puzzle was really hands-on on his part, so we did a lot of back and forth, and I kind of just asked him if he had an opening, and he said that he would try me out, and he really liked me, and we kind of just ran with it. It's an amazing opportunity to work with someone who eats, sleeps, and breathes crosswords, so it was a lot of fun.
And what kind of tasks does a Will Shortz intern have?
Well, some of my favorite tasks included, so Will does that puzzle show on NPR on Sundays, I think, and he tapes them on Fridays. And Friday morning, I'd get there, and he would test them out of me. And if I got them too quickly, he'd toughen them up. And if he needed help brainstorming some more answers, I'd also help there. My favorite part was actually dealing with the submissions. So, you know, when it comes to editing the New York Times crossword puzzle, it's basically a one-man operation. Will is sitting there in his office, and I would sit there with him, and we would comb through submissions. We would edit clues. You know, it was very fun for me to edit other people's submissions and suggest clue changes, or I'm a bit of a grid freak, so if Will thought that a certain section of a puzzle needed work, I would, you know, get out pencil and paper and have at it.
Now, from what I understand, you know, a lot of people who write crosswords hate the cluing part. They like to come up with the answers. Is that true for you, too?
It's interesting, yeah. I love cluing. People tend to fall in a couple different camps. So, you know, there's the thinking of the theme, the filling of the grid, and the cluing. And I'm lucky because I love all three, maybe for disparate reasons, but they're all great. And the cluing portion is where you really get to flex your wordplay muscle. And that's, you know, I love interesting, you know, clues with multiple meanings. I also love references. So cluing is where I get to, you know, pull from all corners of the pop culture market and just figure out what I want to talk about.
Well, as I mentioned, you had your first Sunday published when you're 17. How much time elapsed between when you first started solving the puzzle and you first had one in the paper?
About a year, I think. Maybe a little less. I went to Stuyvesant High School in New York, and during social studies class, we would pass out the New York Times. We had a free period, and, you know, a couple friends would just crowd around and go at the New York Times crossword, and I was instantly hooked at, you know, how funny themes could be, how inventive new fill could be, and how clever clues could be.
This book, Word, that you've put out, it's an updated 21st century, a lot of references, as you mentioned, group of puzzles. Now, Will has always talked about wanting to include the everyday language and that kind of thing, but did you have more freedom here than you think you would with several New York Times puzzles?
Definitely. You know, Will is an amazing editor because he definitely toes the line between, you know, wanting to push the envelope as much as possible, and because of his editorship, the Times has seen a bevy of awesome new themes that never would have happened without him. But you can't alienate, you know, the 90-year-old New Yorkers who get their New York Times and solve that puzzle with their coffee and stuff. You know, I, as much as I want to make every clue or answer a reference to the Notorious B.I.G., it's just not okay. So in this book, we could basically do what we wanted. Everyone had published a puzzle in the New York Times, so they knew how to appeal to that audience, but here our audience was us. It was kids our age and people close in age, and we went wild. You know, I mean, the gold standard for this book was, has this answer appeared in any puzzle? Is this something that is fresh and new? And we threw it in there. You know, it was a really fun experience to push the envelope as far as we could.
How do you get rid of the famous, like, crosswordies answers that are in even the best puzzle has that aspect where, you know, you might see Brian Eno like 4 days a week as an answer.
Yeah, the answer to that is just try, practice makes perfect kind of thing. With me, it's kind of a zero tolerance thing. I remember starting out solving, I just hated those answers, so I just do everything I can to avoid them. That means, you know, spending the extra day reworking a corner of the grid because you just can't have, like, Ibex or, you know, one of those words, you know, Olio, all those words that are just tired. So it's just a, you know, if you have to go back to the drawing board, you do it.
I imagine that Stuyvesant and Brown and a lot of your co-writers of the puzzles for this book are also Ivy Leaguers. I think the crossword is safe, but do you think that people will be doing crosswords in the New York Times or elsewhere? I mean, is it still cool with the average young person, no matter how many pop culture references you put in there?
Yeah, I mean, I really think it is. I think one thing that's cool is that crosswords are really well made to jump the gap technologically. So, you know, a friend and an awesome constructor, Ben Tossig, is coming out with an iPad app full of young constructors who have made puzzles for it. There's, you know, iPhone apps that you can solve crosswords on. If the prevalence of words with friends and, you know, all the Boggle variants means anything, then, you know, people still like playing word games. They just might do it in a new way.
You've interned with Will Shortz 3 times. Do you aspire to be the editor of the Times puzzle?
I'm not sure. Having been at Will's house, for, you know, a long period of time, he definitely has it good. He definitely is someone with the most playful job that you could possibly imagine. And he loves it. It's a bit time consuming. And, you know, as with any kind of, newspaperly endeavor, it's subject to the whims of other people's schedules occasionally. But I'm definitely considering it. I would probably make that decision very far down the line, but it's an awesome job.
You mentioned sometimes you're going to spend an extra day working on one clue just because you want to kind of avoid the tired language. How long does it take you to do a puzzle?
Right. It really depends. For the book, I you know, really got up there maybe a couple a day. For the New York Times puzzle, it can take anywhere from a week to a month if the theme is, you know, if it's a very intense theme and I'm like constantly workshopping the answers.
Well, I wish you good luck. I'll enjoy continuing to do your puzzles whenever I see them, and I think it'll probably take me a long time to rattle the 90s nostalgia to finish this current book, which is Word, 144 Crossword Puzzles That Prove It's Hip to Be Square. We've been speaking with Natan Last, and he is a 3-time intern under our friend Will Shortz. It's been a pleasure to have you on the roundtable, and happy solving.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.